Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Well, good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I have my co-host, Shirley Carter.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another Hot Topic. I am excited about tonight and nervous. You know how you get that nervousness about, you know, in the pit of your stomach, like something big is about to happen? I am feeling that now.
Well, we are certainly at a critical space in time. We are 7 days away from knowing who the next president of the United States will be. And I tell you what, either way it goes, it's going to be a little bit frightening. But thanks be to God that gives us the victory and allows us to overcome and conquer. You know, I keep encouraging people that they have to go to the polls and vote. Don't go by what the media is saying about who's leading. Make sure you go and you cast your vote. Don't sit back and say, well, I'm not voting because what didn't happen the last time and my vote doesn't count. That is a trick of the enemy. As I posted on Facebook today, you know, and for our Christian folks that say they're not going to participate because they're not of this world. But when you live by the laws of this world, then you're governed by the laws of this world. So therefore, you should participate in what goes on as it relates to the laws. If you have the opportunity to cast your vote to change law and be a part of what our future is going to be, then regardless of your religious background, you absolutely positively must vote. And, you know, we've been talking this month regarding domestic violence and cancer awareness. And I got to tell you, domestic violence must be acknowledged every day, not just October, but every day. One out of three women are victims of domestic violence. And, you know, it hasn't lightened up. And I tell you, the new election that's coming up for the new president, it's going to make or break us as it relates to domestic violence. Because here's what happens. If there are no jobs, if our kings are taken out of the homes and our queens are left to maneuver and get employment for themselves and for our children, there is going to be some problems here in the U.S. It's no longer going to be the land of opportunity, the land of the free, because we'll be so busy looking over our shoulder because of the laws that will be set. So I encourage you, I admonish you to please go to the polls and vote, because our families depend on it. Our family units depend on what goes on with this presidential election here. And our faith is very important. You know, if we don't have faith to believe and trust God that, you know, everyone will participate and do their part. That I'm telling you, I just cannot stress enough, Shirley.
I know. This election, I mean, it's like you said, 1 week out. And that's why I say the jittery feeling that I had is that it's one of, it's almost like exhausting, a feeling that it's been drugged. I'm 60 years old, been voting since I was 18. In 42 years, I've never seen an election like this. It takes you on a mental and physical roller coaster. But we got people who are still out here are saying they're not going to vote. They're not voting, then they're not going to have a voice. Everyone needs to be running to the polls to vote. Because like you said, if this election goes south, as I would put either south or north, if we don't get the right person in place, there's so much that is at stake in this one election. It's not a regular presidential election. We've got so much at stake. Everything from the right to vote, the Civil Rights Act, the next Supreme Court judge. I mean, there's so much on the line, education of our children, wages, jobs. When we talk about not just jobs, but the wages that they're being paid, there's so, and health care. We have 20 million people with insurance now that could lose it in one day because of a vote. So if people are not thinking about, well, it doesn't affect me, it affects someone you know, your loved ones. In one day, our lives could be turned upside down. And this is 2016, and we can go back to 1950, the late 50s, the early 60s. That was not a good time. That was a lot of struggle, a lot of fighting, standing for our rights, that everything could be taken away with a vote, with one vote. And that person that says they're not going to vote, it could be your vote or not voting that causes that. Me personally, I don't want to be responsible for that. So I voted. No, we need everyone to get out and vote. And vote your conscience. Think about it. What that vote costs. And what it will cost for future generations. It is not just about what's happening today. Or it's not just for tomorrow. It's for the rest of your life. What's going to happen? November the night. If you don't participate on November the 8th, can you wake up the next morning and look yourself in the mirror and say, did you get the right thing? That's a big question. What are you going to do?
That's scary.
Yes. It really is. And I don't think some people realize how close that your life can change. It's like cutting off a light switch and then turning the light on, and everything you knew to be normal is no longer there. And everything you knew to be in place and working right in your life is gone. Because that one vote or that one person who didn't vote. A lot of places it's too late to register to vote. There's some places you can register up to the day of election and register and vote that day, but make sure you get out and vote.
Yeah, I mean, it is just so detrimental that we do this. Those of you that are tuning in, we're talking about why it's important for us to vote and how it affects our family, our faith, and ultimately our finances. If you have any questions or comments or you'd like to interject, you just press 1. And if you are calling from different states, we'd like to hear your views and what's going on in your community regarding the polls, because we here in South Florida have early voting that started last week. We know that folks are going to the polls. President Obama is going to be here tomorrow pushing that we go out and vote. VP, Biden is going to be here as well. So they're pulling out the stops because South Florida is one of the main states that is a defining factor. So I wish I could get entry to go and see them. But anywho, I'm hoping that they're visiting and they're encouraging individuals to come to the polls, that it works, because we've seen that there's been a great slacking away regarding voting. And, you know, we were talking about domestic violence and cancer awareness this month also, Shirley, and I got to tell you that it's even going to affect the dollars as it relates to funding cancer research and putting money in for domestic violence. It's all tied in together. I don't care which way we look, which way we can, it all ties in together. The next president of the United States, the next senator, governor, mayors, commissioners that we put in place to work, run our cities and stuff, it's going to be a defining factor when we do the cancer walks, domestic violence walk, how much money they're going to allocate to the police department to talk to perpetrators, to get counseling for them, and to bring awareness to women and men, because men are victims of domestic violence, about, you know, strategy, exit strategies that they need. And all this comes through funding. Funding that comes from, the mayor, the commissioners, the governors, the senators of our states. It doesn't necessarily come with a president and say, oh, I want to send $10,000 there. No, we need the governor to petition Washington to say, we need this money for our community, and here's why. So it is very crucial that we get to the polls, not just to vote for the president, but also to vote for the commissioners in our state, because cancer research, domestic violence, diabetes, all these things that we have plaguing our community, poverty, homelessness, all these things that are affecting our community, it's up to us to push that button to decide who is going to be in charge of the communities where we live. It's very, very important that we do that. And I don't know why people just think that, okay, everybody's saying vote, I'll do it next time. But next time may be too late. So we need you to get to the polls. Caller 2175, you are live.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for letting me on. How are you and Shirley doing tonight?
We're doing great.
Well, well, Marie.
Hi, how are
you? Working the polls.
I will be working. I will be. I don't. I just worked at one time because I don't think I'll be able to do all those other ones. So I just worked the one time. But
okay.
This is one of the worstest times of our life, but we still have to do our voting. So everyone is thinking that they shouldn't vote. Please don't think that. And also, I wanted to stress very, very much as to where that President Obama had signed when he first got in to president. He signed the one of the agendas saying that if a person has been on probation or parole, and they was off parole and probation for a year and has not been on any trouble or anything like that, they can vote. I stress that very, very much because it is true. They can vote. Just because, see, a lot of people think because they was in trouble and they have this felony, you know, they can't vote. But that's not true. It is not true. Go down to the 115 building, which is the government building. It's 115 Andrews Avenue. Go down and talk to them, or either talk with one of the ones that at the poll workers, because you can vote. You can vote. You can vote. And I stress that very much because a lot of people really think that they cannot vote. And there's a lot of people saying that they're not going to vote. But they thinking that it's, you know, it doesn't matter who you vote for. It really does
right.
not matter. Please, please, please vote. Because, and go, and we need to start going to the meeting. The town meetings are very, very, very important because that's where you get the agenda. That's how you get the agenda in Washington, D.C. If you don't go to the town meetings, there's a lot of things that you're going to miss and you're not going to get. You can't depend on our congressmen. You can't depend on our representatives. We have to depend on ourselves. We have to. We have to. And we have to get out there and do what we need to do. Thank you all so much for letting me share that. And you all be blessed. And I love you, but God love you more.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
I appreciate
so much.
You tuning in and encouraging the people. You know, we have to vote, but there's two. Actually, on the ballot, there's six candidates on the ballot, but there are two primary candidates that are running, which is Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Now, you can write in a name of somebody you want to be president, but there's other people that are there running: Gary Johnson, Darrell Castle, Jill Stein, Rock De La Fonte. These individuals are on the ballot for president and vice president. But I got to tell you, the other individuals that are on the ballot, they're nowhere in the equation as it is between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. So let's be intelligent individuals when we go to the polls. Don't be writing or checking in somebody that has no relevance at this point, this stage of the game. I'm not saying that they're not relevant as individuals. I'm saying as it relates to the voting that we have to do on Tuesday. Let's not just be doing something just to strike a certain thing saying I vote. This is very crucial, and we need to make sure that rather it's Trump or Clinton, that we are precise, because voting or checking for the other candidates really makes no relevance. Am I making that a little clear, Shirley? I don't know if I'm saying it right, but if our listening audience
yeah,
is
you
there
are
and
saying
want to
it
chime
right.
in,
because
you can say
you are saying it right. You are saying it right, because by writing in someone or voting for one of the other candidates that are not, as you may say, that they don't have a chance of winning at all. Okay, let me just put it right there. That they only have like 2% or 7% or 9% of the votes. To vote for one of them, it's like voting for your least candidate that you want to win. Example, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And some people use this term. Well, Hillary is the less of the two evils, but I don't like her, so I'm not voting for her. And I'm definitely not voting for Donald Trump, so I'll vote for Gary Johnson. Gary doesn't have a chance of winning. You just gave Trump a vote. And how that works is this. That vote that could have went to, say, Hillary, but you gave it to Johnson, that brings her numbers down. Say if she's at 42% and Trump is at 40%. By not giving her that vote and you gave it to Johnson, then you just brought her down to 41. Another person comes, well, I'm just going to write someone in. So then now you got them in dead heat, 40%. Each time you vote for their third party or write-in, you give from the main two categories, you give the one with the lowest percentage an edge. You're only boosting their percentage. And I know you say, like, well, I didn't vote for him. No. But those are the two. Even one or the other is going to win. And when you vote for a third party or write-in, you're actually boosting the one with the less percentage. You're boosting their numbers. So that's how they win. It's called they used to have a name for it. I'm not going to vote for you, but I vote for her. But by me voting for her, it actually gives him one less point or the other component one less point. Because when they put the percentages out there from the polls and everything, those polls are done on who's most likely, not actual polling of the person. Like, no one called me and asked me who I'm voting for. That's not how they do the polls. A lot of the polls is done by who's most likely to vote. So if you're used to voting, quote, Democratic, and then you decide this year you're not going to vote, now the polls have already counted you in that, quote, 40%. But if you don't vote, then you're taken away from that 40% and say you do the write-in or add a third party. So that's what a lot of people are not realizing. So what they're doing, the polls are based on your past voting history. So if you used to vote and now you're not going to vote, then they put those. That's why they have different types of polls out there. They have the national polls. Then they have the polls that are done by Fox. And then they have polls that are done by political and, you know, different types of polls out there. And some of them are done from, say, they have 100 people. I call 100 people and see who they're going to vote for. And then they break the percentage down. And then that gives them their polling numbers. That's why you say, okay, Fox said it's a bad heat nationally. But then there's the national poll, which is done from your voting history. They're saying that there's a 7-point lead or a 5-point or 2-point, or whatever it may be. But what actually counts is when you go in the booth and you vote. And that's the true polls. That's why I tell people, don't get comfortable with the polls, because those numbers are not actual numbers. When the voting started, which early voting has started, then they talk about that too, but it still doesn't really change all these other polls, like I said, political, Fox, the national or MSNBC polls or CNN polls. Those don't really change, because even early voting is already well known through the history of voting that Democrats are the ones to do early voting. Why is that? Because most of them are middle class or lower class, in the bottom 90% of the people, and they happen to do early voting, which is on the weekend, because it's hard to get a day off work to go and vote.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates early voting from Democrats. That's why you have more Democrats voting early than you do Republicans. So, yes.
Wow, that's interesting.
There's a lot of voter suppression that goes on in some cities and states, especially the battleground states. If you watch and notice, there's a lot of shakeup going on in the battleground states, such as Ohio. Ohio is a big one, and such as Florida. That's why they, quote, close some of the polling stations or change some of the hours or taken away some of the location totally because of that. And that's when they bought in, well, okay, we can't vote on Sundays anymore. Early voting is only on Saturdays between 8 a.m. and 12 noon. So when you go in for early voting, you get discouraged because there's such a long line. And then you find some of the new polling station are asking for extra information, or they're giving you what do you call this other ballot? There's a ballot you can do that can be challenged, and I just drew a blank on that one. But anyway, they challenge you, and they allow you to vote, but it goes in a special envelope, and they only count your vote, maybe and maybe not. So there's so much you need to know, but you can always know that at any given time, at every poll station, there is someone there. There's a Republican and a Democrat there. That you can go to if you got an issue. If you got an issue with your ballot, if you got an issue with the worker, There's always two people there in charge. So you...
Okay, I'm losing you, Shirley. Okay, you're fading out, Shirley. Can't hear you.
No. And one of the other things, can you hear me? Because I want to talk about the
okay.
state.
And it's, now I hear you.
Okay, especially about the states where if you're felon, and I appreciate Marie chiming in on that. There are several states that if you're a felon and everything, you can your rights are restored. And some their rights, period, and they're not restored, like in Mississippi. That is one of the ones that they not restore your rights of ex-offenders and everything. But most of them have. And you have to understand that a lot of people don't know that. They need to, there's steps they have to take, though. They got to call the election committee. They have to make sure that they get a clearance from the parole and from the prison system showing that they've completed time. And you can, you know, petition to have your rights restored. But they don't just, some of them just don't give them fully back to you. Because you do have some states where after you complete it and everything, it's like an automatic. You show everything that you've done. Some are restored after your prison term, after you get out of prison. You don't have to wait a year. There's some that are restored, you know, after you, because sometimes people get out of prison and then they have a probationary period or a parole period they have to go through. And then there's some states where they don't restore them at all if you do certain crimes like murder, rape, treason, and stuff like that. You have to get pardoned before you can get your voting rights back. And that's like a state like Tennessee. And then there are some states that where you don't lose your rights at all. You could even vote absentee while you're in jail. See, a lot of people don't know that.
Wow.
They feel like, okay, once I went to jail and everything, I've lost my right to vote. No, there's some states that you can vote absentee, and one of them is Vermont. You can vote from prison. And then Wisconsin. You know, you can vote. We'll complete your bulletin.
Your signal is going. So I don't know. You're fading out like you're underwater. So.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Okay, now I can hear you. So wherever you are, stay right there. But
hey,
I didn't
you
know
hear me
that
well now.
You can do. Yes, I didn't know that you can do an absentee ballot while you're in jail in prison. How does that work when people are from different states?
You can the state of Vermont. It's certain states.
Okay, you're breaking up again.
I mean, even it's certain states. And, you know, because you can do an absentee ballot for a trucker. Say he's a truck driver, and he gets a last-minute run, and he needs a ballot. There is, at your post office, in whatever
okay, so you're completely gone now, Shirley. So I don't know why we're having issues now where I can't hear you, but you're completely gone.
I'm not sure. I can
okay,
hear you.
I have. Okay. So I have another caller
can you
on.
Hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, I put you on the speaker. One of the things I wanted to say is that, they, you know, and people need to notice, like, if you know someone that's a truck driver, and, example, they get a last-minute notice to take a run, they can have what they call a drop mail. And if you, for example, if you live in Florida and by today your run is in Oregon or in Utah or wherever, and you've already left and you're on the road traveling, and so it can't come to your home. So there's post office. Every United States post office have what they call drop mail. So you look at your schedule and say, okay, it's on election day, I'm going to be in Florida, but I actually live in D.C. or New York or wherever. Then you contact your election office and let them know that I'm traveling absentee ballot, and I need drop mail. And they will drop it at, they will send it to a post office, and then that state will, when you vote, you give it to the election committee in that state. Go take it in, but it's a special envelope. You can't send it back to your state to be counted because it's a state. So what you do is you take it to that poll and everything. You're not really voting there, but they're going to report back to your poll that you voted, and this is who you voted for.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, that is good information. I have a caller, 1266, you're live.
Hi, Dr. Hayden, it's Fayola, how are you?
Hello, Fayola, how are you this evening? Fayola Delica, well, she was on a couple of weeks ago, and she helped us with a lot of voting information and the different electors that are in our different cities and our states and why we should vote. We're 7 days away, Fayola, and I tell you, I started the show saying, I'm terrified.
I joined the bandwagon with you. Once again, I'm honored to be in the call. Sorry, I was running late. I was at an event talking about systemic racial issues in our communities. And this election, I would try to be politically correct, but I think something this evening must ignite it, some fumes in me, because even while we were talking about systemic racism, just the passion and the aggressiveness, when we talk about this election, we need to come out in numbers. I think as a whole, our communities are being lackadaisical with being engaged in this election. When we look at 2008, 2012, the first, regardless that he's mixed, the first African-American president, Barack Obama, came on the, on the playing field 2008, went for re-election in 2012. But I don't see the same energy and excitement. I know Hillary Clinton is not African-American, but she's the first woman. And to continue the efforts that President Obama has done, despite some people in our communities are stating that he didn't do enough, he could only do so much if he didn't have full control of the Congress when majority are Republicans. So anything that he would even want to pass or would like to pass that would be beneficial to our communities, it was a rigid process because it's majority Republican. And we have slept on Donald Trump long enough. You know, when he first came on board, no one took him seriously. It just as a machine that just kept going silently. And all the rhetoric that's going on, all the craziness and the absurdity of this political process that has taken this election cycle is a laughing matter on an international level. So I'm begging the community, whoever's going to be listening tonight or listening before November 8th, do not take this election lightly. Al Gore lost by 537 votes. We do not want to repeat that scenario during this election process. We need to go out and vote, and it's not just presidential. We need to go down the whole ballot. I'm not saying Democrat or Republican. I'm saying be informed, be educated on what's on the ballot.
Right.
I tell you all, as a former candidate and someone who loves politics, I was even shocked with some of the things in the ballot. You know, when we're talking about the Supreme Court, the Supreme Justices, do we allow them to retain their position? We have to we are, our communities, especially the African American communities, minority communities, but especially African American communities, we are at stake when we are not informed.
Well, I thank you so much for that information. Nice. And I was also saying, telling individuals that, you know, on the ballot, they're different. It's not just the presidential. They have commissioners on there, you know, mm-hmm. state representative, depending on what state you're in, and that those are the people that actually govern what money comes into our communities.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. we have to talk about the importance of that, Fayola, if you will.
The last time I was on the show, it kind of broke down the level of government because Civic 101, we had civic class, high school, middle school, but the practicality of it, we need to engage our communities more. There is various levels of our government. The closest influence, our direct impact on the government level is not at the federal. It's a bottom-up process. So the city, the municipalities, so if you're in the state of Florida, I live in the city of North Miami. So the city of North Miami, that level of government impacts me more than anything else because we're talking about, you know, your water bills. We're talking about your light bills. We're talking about where the money goes as education, even though the money is trickling from a federal state downward. But the government that impacts you, we have a saying in politics, all politics is local. So your first mm-hmm. level of impact is your city, your municipality. Some people live in unincorporated areas wherever they're located, so that would relate to your county. So that takes me to the county level. The county level, as being someone in Miami, Florida, Miami-Dade County is a county. So that's the next level of government that we need to be informed. So when we talk about the city, it's either your city commissioners or your council, councilmen and women. Those are the people that you need to be informed. What have they been doing before they were running for office? Where do they stand on certain issues? How have they been voting if they're going up for re-election? If they've never been in office, what have they done that will give you the wherewithal to think that this person will represent you to the best of the community's ability? Then we talk about the county. When we talk about the county, most likely they call them county commissioners, but you know, there's different languages depending on where you reside. On the county level, this is more budgeting as far as the money they get from the federal and the state. How are they dispersing it? How are the school boards related? Because in Miami-Dade County, it's two different entities. It's not an umbrella over the county commissioners. So it's two different entities, but there's a relationship there. So it's talking about what impact your county commissioners will have on you when they talk about where does the money go. How is in Miami, we have some issues such as tolls, we have issues such as employment, we have issues such as economic development, we have issues such as facilities when we're talking about law enforcement, or we're talking about climate change, as that's a big conversation here in South Florida, even though in Tallahassee it's not discussed. And then the next level of government is your state level. Those are your state legislators, and what they do is they put legislation in place that will impact the whole state. For instance, I was running for a position, Florida State Representative House District 108. So it's a certain part of the county, and it would have constituents over 165,000 plus that person would oversee, but in actuality, that person is actually representing the whole state of Florida, because when you go to Tallahassee, the capital of Florida, that's where everyone who's a state legislator, whether it's at the state senate or the state representative, they would be voting on bills that would affect the state. And so there's a similar process that happens at the federal level. At the federal level, you have your U.S. House of Representatives, and then you have your U.S. Senators, which consist and make up Congress. And then, of course, then you have the presidential post. But then please remember there's also other positions that are just as important when we talk about elected officials. Your judges, certain appointments such as some places have soil and environmental council people. Some have other different processes, because I know this is a national show. So just be mindful that we need to educate ourselves on every level of government to know how it influences us. So, yes, you know, there's a big direction, especially in November, is focused, well, this year actually, since the presidential election is every 4 years, that's where the focus is. But do not forget, if you don't remember anything else I've said, all politics is local. So please inform yourselves. There is different voter guides that you can connect with in your jurisdiction or where you're located to affect that can give you information locally. Just be informed. Be educated. I would say as a loyal Democrat, vote down the Democratic line, but I say educate because sometimes, you know, party lines need to be put aside. I shouldn't say this, but party lines sometimes need to be put aside and actually look at the individual. What are they bringing to the table? How can they improve their communities? And then I say, please don't forget, after election is over, you voted for them, but your job just begun as a constituent. You have to hold them accountable, whether it's emailing them, calling them, staying on top of what's going on. And I know it's like a full-time job, but we have to do our due diligence in order to improve our communities because most of the time the communities that are not engaged are the ones that are affected most. And as a couple of months ago, I went to a government meeting, and one of the government employees told me, when we have conversations in communities and the people from those communities do not come, the way they engage and how to deal with those issues in those communities is they have to discuss amongst themselves. And that they say, as they say, if you're not at the decision-making table, you're on the menu. So someone is speaking for you, but that person may not really relate to what you're going through or truly speak from your experience as a from the community's perspective. So I know people have life goes on, but find ways to get engaged. We have no excuse. I social media, you have Twitter, you have Facebook, you have Instagram, Snapchat, all these different ways that we can engage with our elected officials. And the funny joke I always say is, you know, if an email or phone call, they can avoid that, but you can't avoid social media. There's a tracking process there. So I say whatever you have to do to get your voice across, and I always say be respectful and be mindful that an issue cannot be addressed overnight, but persistence definitely is key.
Thank you. Wow, you said a lot. I tell you, you read it from top to bottom, but one of the questions I want to ask is when it comes to the Justice of Supreme Court judges, how is that for the nation? We voting for the judges for the Supreme Court? And
no,
how often
are
they replaced?
On this, this is for Miami-Dade County specifically, since that's where I reside and that's what I know. When we talk about the Supreme Court justices for the state of Florida, it is not at a federal level. For instance, I'm looking at the sample ballot right as we speak, and the justices that are up for election is Justice Charles T. Kennedy, Jorge Labarga, Justice Ricky L. Colson, Judge. Well, that's the Justice of the Supreme Court for the state of Florida. When we talk about the District Court of Appeal, there is Judge Edwin A. Scales. There is Judge Linda Ann Wells. And then, of course, the circuit judges, there is those are up for elections themselves. But the ones that Judge Linda Ann Wells, those are all people who are already in on the bench, and they're asking should they be retained, meaning they're not necessary. It's not like circuit court judges where there's people actually running against one another. These individuals don't have opponents. So when you say yes,
right,
you're actually saying you agree to keep them on the bench. And when you say no, you're saying that you're against keeping them on the bench. So please do your due diligence. Look them up. Find out how have they been voting. Remember, these judges are nonpartisan, so they are not necessarily Democrat or Republican. You will find some information on some of these judicial positions that are up for election that you can find out what party. But once again, look at how they've been voting. How have they impacted? What have they been doing since they've been sitting on the bench? Because sometimes I think we forget that the judicial branch is just as important as the legislative and the executive. There's three levels of government. There's the executive, which is the federal level. There's the legislative, which is the ones that put legislation in place, so we call them legislators. And then there's the judicial. The judicial are the judges on various capacities. You have the county, you have the circuit court judge, you have the district court judge and appeals, and then you have the justice of the Supreme Court. So once again, they are nonpartisan positions. Please do your due diligence. Find out, you know, do your research. Find out how have they been ruling since they've been sitting on the bench. It's kind of harder to really know where they stand. So you do have, it does take a little bit more time and research, but we have to, because when your child or your family or a situation happens in the community and
yes.
they have to go to court, those are the people that are making those decisions. And they're also
yes.
interpreting the laws that are being put in place that are already on the books. So remember, the judge's role is to interpret the law. So if they are not from our community or understand what we're going through, they may not interpret as best as they could have if they had more insight to relatable to the communities that they're serving.
Yes, absolutely. That is powerful. That's why I wanted you to go in and explain that, because our people don't understand that. They're not understanding that, you know, like I told them to go and vote and don't go there voting for someone. Like I gave the example of how many people are actually running for the presidential election. There are six names of people running for the election, but the only ones that are really in the forefront that we should be focused on is Trump and Clinton. The rest, Johnson, mm-hmm. Castle, and Stein, and Della Fuente, no disrespect, but, you know, why vote for them when they're not going to be the defining factor? It's still a wasted vote if you go there doing that. So let's get serious, let's get focused, and, you know, let's understand that our lives and the lives of our children and their children are at stake. Life as we know it is going to change for whoever is in the office this year. But as
mm-hmm.
I said, thanks be to God that will give us the victory. And, yes, those of you that are saints need to vote. You are governed by the laws of this land, so saying you're not a part of this world, it doesn't sound logical to me, because you're yet in here. You speed and get a ticket, you're bound by the law, you go into jail or pay the ticket. So why not go out and vote? You commit murder, a family member commit murder, you're going to go before a judge. So vote.
And if I may, historically, we have been put aside and marginalized and disfranchised, and our voice never had power until people fought. And it's not just black people that fought in the civil rights movement. We had Jews, we had whites,
right.
we had people from all different, but people fought for us to be able to have. It's not a privilege, it's a right and an obligation to vote. And whether people want to, you know, take it so sophisticatedly and say, well, it's the electoral college and our vote really doesn't matter, it does matter. And if you sit at home and you do not vote, your vote is silent. And that means it's falling on the other side. So, you know, I know people have issues with both presidential candidates or other candidates that are up for elections. But at the end of the day, who is most likely to speak on the community's behalf? Who is most likely to be willing to work and relate to the community? And I also say, too, you know, women's suffrage. Women weren't able to vote. Black people, minorities, and anyone who was not Caucasian or Anglo was not allowed to vote. And now we have the ability, and I say, excuse me, but you have the audacity to sit at home and say you're not going to vote, but yet most of the time the one who sit at home be the first one to complain. Your vote is your voice, and your voice is your vote. If you do not vote, you just need to sit aside. And when things go awry, don't be the first to complain. And if you really want to impact and make change, it's fine and dandy to do all the different things that we tend to do in our communities, whether you sit in your neighborhood or you sit in your backyard on your porch and you have these conversations and complain and root and rave about what's going on in the community. But if you don't take that that opportunity, as they say, don't boo, vote. But if you do not take your 2 feet and go out and vote, then you have nothing to say. But not just that, you can do absentee ballots. There's three ways that you can vote. You can do early voting depending on where you're located, when the early voting process, days of the week and the hours. In Miami-Dade County, we have 30 locations. In the August election, we had 20. Now we have 30. So they added 10 more election places to go vote, and it's 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Before, in August, it was kind of different time frames. Now it's uniform. 30 locations, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., 7 days a week. Then you have the absentee ballots. You can vote by mail. I think November 2nd is the last day, which is tomorrow, I believe, for absentee ballot requests. But don't quote me on that. Please go to miamidade.gov/elections. miamidade.gov/elections to find out how you can register for an absentee ballot. And lastly, November 8th, please go out and vote. Go out and vote. Go out and vote. Take your family, take your kids, take anyone who is 18 and over and a citizen and eligible to vote and they're registered to vote. So please go out and vote. We cannot take this lightly. This is serious. And I am just appalled at how relaxed we've been having souls to the polls and all these different go out and a vote events and ways to get people to go, and people are not budging. So I urge you, with all sincerity and all urgency in my voice, do not sit at home. Go out and vote. And if you can't find your voter registration card, take your license. In the
yes,
state of Florida,
you can do it with your license.
Places, with your license. So please go out and vote.
Thank you so much, Nova. Fayola, could you give the audience your information and tell them a little bit about you and the services that you provide as a speaker, coach?
Yes. Once again, thank you, Dr. Hagen, and your other co-host that's on the call. I forgot, I'm sorry. I forgot her name.
Carter,
my name
Shirley
is
Carter.
Blika. Ms. Carter, it's a pleasure speaking with you again this evening. My name is Fayola DeLeca. I was a former candidate for State Representative House District 108 in Miami-Dade County, Florida. I am an educator. I am a small business owner. I do business coaching and life coaching. I've written 3 books. I'm writing my 4th book. Hopefully, it'll be released by December 31st, God willing. And my focus is working with individuals overall to live life to the fullest. As a Christian, a woman of God, God has given each one of us a purpose, an assignment. We have gifts and talents. And as Dr. Miles Monroe said, before we die, we should empty ourselves onto this world. We are birthed for purpose. We are birthed to give. And I am on a mission, passion and purpose activator. That's kind of my moniker. And it's really what that says is I want to help people live out their purpose. And so the way I do that is by individuals who want to become coaches themselves, whether a life coach, business coach, health coach. We help you get started. One of my books is The Ultimate Life Coach's Manual. It's a how-to from A to Z, how to get your coaching business started or take it to the next level. We also have online courses. If you want to do the webinar, it's an 8-week program. We can do group coaching. I generally don't do private coaching anymore, but if you are truly serious about it, you can reach out to me. And then for speakers, whether you are a speaker or you want to start your speaking business or you want to take your speaking business to the next level, I also have a book written on that, a similar format with the life coaching. It's the Ultimate Speaker's Manual. You can find those two books on barnesandnobles.com, amazon.com. And then my third book is a chapter that I've written with 12 women around the country. We talk about our challenges, but we also talk about resilience. And the book is entitled Resilience, Living Life by Design. And we share our challenges, but we also tell you what we did to overcome. Because I truly believe when trials and tribulations come in your life, they're there to help you. They're not your stumbling blocks, but they're your building blocks. And so I always tell people when hard things come in life is because you haven't really tapped into who you were, and that's part of my story. My 4th book coming out is talking about just overall business, because as a business consultant, a business coach, and someone who's in the community and dealing with entrepreneurs, your business foundation is key. And so putting a resource together to help individuals, because it's a lot of work. It's not easy. It's totally different mindset from being a 9-to-5, starting your own business, because you are your own boss. If you don't work, you don't get paid. It's not like, you know, your steady job where, you know, you can get your sick pay and all those different things and you get that check. Entrepreneurship is hard work. But if you have the right foundation, you position yourself properly, I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but if you put the work in and realize businesses generally don't get successful overnight. Those are a lottery, 1 million in a chance, but you have to put the work, but the foundation is key. So that's my resource. So you can reach out to me. I'm on social media. I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can type in Fayola Delica. Fayola is F as in Frank, A-Y-O-L-A. And my last name is Delica, D as in David, E-L-I-C-A. And I also got involved in real estate. And I'll say to close, economic development is key to a lot of the issues in our communities, no matter what community you live in. Low socioeconomic status, minority, middle class, upper class. When you look at the wealthy, all of their diversified portfolios have real estate involved in it some way, shape, or form. Whether they're residential, investors, or commercial, real estate is one of those key things. Everyone's always going to need a place to live. So I believe real estate is the key to wealth, building wealth and wealth distribution and wealth management. So getting involved to help people, whether it's buying a home, investing in a home, or whatever the case may be when we talk about real estate, we have to be financially savvy, financial literacy, because the America that we knew pre-economic crash is a different America. And in order for us to live this American dream, we need to get on that bandwagon post-2008. So you can reach out to me, 786-600-3506. Again, 786-600-3506. And my email address is my last name, first name, at gmail.com. That's Delica, D as in David, E-L-I-C-A, F as in Frank, A-Y-O-L-A, at gmail.com. So looking at residential, commercial, investing, whatever it is, we can get you what you need, because Miami is one of the hottest markets. It's always going to be booming because people always want to come to Miami, whether it's the lifestyle, whether it's the sunshine, the beaches. We have everything and anything, whether you are a young professional, whether you're middle-aged, whether you're divorced, reliving your life, family. We have anything and everything you're looking for right here in Miami. So definitely reach out to me for any and all of your real estate needs.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for tuning in. As always, we're running out of time, but I encourage you to go to the polls and vote. We won't be on the air next Tuesday, the election day. We will be participating and making sure souls are at the polls voting. This is very critical time in our life and our season. Make sure you go out and cast your vote. And as I said, this is Domestic Violence and Cancer Awareness Month, so I invite you to go to my website, fromthesoulofawoman.com, and donate to the Soul of a Woman Foundation. And Shirley, she has her foundation. Shirley, give them the information so they can go and support your foundation as well.
It's AgainstAllOddsInc.com. And I'm also on Facebook, and you can check me out on Facebook at Shirley M. Carter. The Against All Odds is on Facebook as well. Again, it's Against All Odds, Inc., INC.com. Thank you so much.
It's been a delight with you tuning in to the show, and we look forward to seeing you the following Tuesday on another Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night, God bless, and vote.
Thank you, good night.